Welcome to the Anderson Business Advisors Podcast, the nationally recognized preferred provider for asset protection and tax planning in the nation. This show is for investors and business owners looking to save on taxes and build long-term wealth with Toby Mathis, an attorney, author, business owner, and a featured instructor at Anderson's Tax and Asset Protection event held throughout the country. Enjoy the show.
Hey guys, this is Toby Mathis with the Anderson Podcast, and I have Frank Cottle with me today. Some of you guys might remember Frank from his previous podcast. We were talking about nonprofits. Frank has a very successful nonprofit as well, but we wanted to talk today about something that is actually going to be pretty, I don't know how to put it. There's massive changes in the commercial working environment given the pandemic. And Frank happens to be one of the largest players in the virtual office space, his company. So I want to introduce Frank. So first off, hey, Frank, welcome.
Thank you, Toby. Thank you very much.
I should say welcome back. And we'll just dive right in because, I mean, COVID's taken a bite out of commercial spaces. Retail is just getting decimated. And I think people are starting to reconsider how they actually office. What do you see?
Well, to put things in perspective, Alliance has been in the serviced office industry, the flexible workspace sector, for 40 years. We have about 1,200 facilities inside of our network in 54 countries, representing just under 30 million square feet of space. So we understand what's going on oftentimes in a global situation more quickly than landlords who have longer-term lease cycles. Mm-hmm. Our average lease cycle is 12 months. And the average commercial lease cycle is just over 5 years. So things hit us faster and we react faster. So with that in perspective, number one.
You're nimble. Can we say that you're more nimble than...
I like agile. Nimble to me seems a little small.
Agile. Okay. But you're like a big one.
And our clients are too. And our customer base represents everything from a government through the global Fortune 1000 to legal, accounting, financial services professionals, startup companies, mid-sized branch offices, a lot of media and technology companies. We get to see a big cross-section of business on a global basis. And one thing I want you to think about when you talk about change for just a second, let's put things in quick perspective. If everybody works at home one day a week, that represents a 20% vacancy factor in commercial office space. Two days a week is 40%. Today, we're working on average 3.5 days a week from home.
Are you kidding?
So, in the larger corporations.
Is that worldwide?
That's in the U.S., the U.K., and Northern Europe. In Northern Europe, it's closer to 4.5 days a week, depending on the economy. Let's just kind of stick with the U.S. for a minute, because I think that's where most of your listeners are focused on. But let's just recognize that one day a week represents 20% vacancy factor. Then go to another scenario, and let's think about major metros for a minute. Most of us today don't mind being in the office. Take your office as an example. You can keep it clean. You can keep people socially distanced. You can do all sorts of things to ensure safety in the office. But imagine you're in Manhattan. Your office is in Manhattan, and you live in the Bronx, or you live in Brooklyn, or you live out in Long Island, further out in Long Island. How do you get to your office? You get on that stinking, dirty train and ride the subway to your office. So you don't mind being in the office. And the problem in major metros today, all metros that are dependent upon public transportation in order for their workforce to get to the central business district, every one of them worldwide, no one wants to ride the transportation.
They're scared.
They're scared of that. And they didn't like it in the first place. Now they have two things going for them. First, they're discouraged from doing so. And second, they didn't want to, overall. Who wants to commute? Who liked that? Anybody you know? Nobody I know.
No. In Vegas, we're lucky. When I was up in Seattle.
Well, same in Southern California. And I'm in Newport Beach, as you know. And so it's the same thing here. We all jump in our little steel cocoons and we feel comfortable about it.
Yeah.
And then take a third scenario that's a major change element. Take a big tech company. Let's take Facebook as an example. And you got Zuck. He's walking around the corporate campus with a CFO, and they're walking through the building, and they're looking around and look at each other and say, man, there's nobody here. Well, we got policies that say they don't have to be here anymore. They can work anywhere they want to. The CFO and Zuckerberg, they look at each other, and Zuck says, the CFO says, well, how's the company doing? CFO says, hey, the company's doing fine. Company's doing great. They look at each other again, and they kind of laugh, and they say, shit, we don't need this stuff anymore. We don't need it all. And that's what corporate America is going through right now. We consult to a large number of the major financial institutions that have a permanent real estate investment within their portfolios, fixed asset portfolios, they refer to them as. And every one of them is saying, hey, you know, Facebook, they just renewed their lease, but they only took half as much space.
Mm-hmm.
Cisco just took half as much space. Microsoft just took half as much space. So all of the major tenants mm-hmm. in most major buildings, my wife's law firm is a good example. They normally have about 120 people in the firm. And they have two full floors of a nice building here in Irvine, California. She said there were six people there the other day.
That's about like us.
Okay. What we realized
is a completely empty suite. Like we have the floor here and we have three floors, but we have one floor where we have the whole floor. The half is completely empty. We actually took all the furniture out.
And you're probably going to sublet that to someone who doesn't need as much space as in their other location, or you're going to give that back, some percentage of that back to the landlord. Let's say you keep half of it and give half of it back to the landlord. Still, the commercial property operators, particularly in large central business districts of major metros, are going to have to completely rethink their strategy. And what we're seeing is a lot of planning going on repurposing of space. So let's go back. Let's pick on Manhattan for a while. It's easy. If you're have a 50-floor building and you're in Midtown or in the financial district downtown or something, and half of your tenants take half of their space, well, you've got a 20, 30, 40% vacancy factor. And it's not like it's going to change.
That's a good question, because we presume that people are liking this. They're learning it and they're liking it and they're going to maintain it.
We assume cyclicality in real estate. We all know that, hey, there's good markets and bad markets. And sometimes you have a 10% vacancy factor. Sometimes you have a waiting list. Sometimes a market gets overbuilt. We assume cyclicality. We understand that. But we haven't understood a complete migration. And the migration is we don't need it. Combination of pandemic, law, people changing their habits, not liking to commute. Technology is huge today. Yeah, you and
they're
I.
They're leaving the urban areas. They're starting to thin out a little, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So before, you had transportation as a major problem, getting people to and from their work. And the reason they did that is because the cost of housing in central metropolitan districts was so very expensive. Now you've got this massive amount of new space. It's not being used for its originally intended commercial purpose. And that can be repurposed into residential and retail and other uses overall. And in the future, people that work in the city will also live in the city. Mm-hmm. There'll be less commuting going on. So there'll be a lot of shape shifting in the way space is used. And right now, we look at our own industry and we say, well, where's the best place to build a flexible workspace? Used to be in a major metro. And now we say, I'd rather build on a bike path than on a metro path.
Interesting.
And we're really seeing the thing. And I'll use Alliance Virtual as an illustration of that. In 2016, 17, 18, we did 60, 65%, maybe a little bit more even, in major metro markets of our business. Today, we do about 40% in those major metro markets and the rest in the secondary and tertiary markets. And that just proves the migratory issue and how fast and how easy it is for the user to move. The other thing that's coming up, it's going to adjust quite a bit, is that while people today are working from their residence, a lot of people are ill-equipped for that. Mm-hmm. You might have a nice office in your home. I might have a nice office in my home. A lot of people don't. They're still stuck working at the kitchen table. They're in a small apartment somewhere. Kids are driving them crazy. The kids are home from school. There's all these things going on. So that person needs to get out of the house. They want to get on the train. So the new hybrid office is work from home, work near home.
I like that.
Electronically commute to the corporate headquarters, or maybe go there for important meetings every other week or something. But it's the work near home environment that's building up. And so when you say, where's the trending? Well, the trend is to move to the secondary and tertiary markets. That's where we're going to see growth for all types of commercial real estate, number one. And the type of real estate it will be real estate that's capable of handling short-term tenants. So the classic executive suite, business center, serviced office center, co-working center, whatever label you want to put on the facilities that combine people, place, and technology into a single short-term service agreement as opposed to a long-term lease. Mm-hmm. Facilities that have clerical, secretarial, administrative support, AV support, meeting rooms, conference rooms, all these things that are a mile from somebody's house. And a big illustration of that, bicycle sales in some markets are up as much as 500% in 2020. Yes. And so right. People's ability to move within 1 to 3 miles of where they live without getting on public transportation and not necessarily needing to cold start a vehicle is going to be a huge driver for the way we'll see things in the future. And it's not the long future. This is like right now, this is happening.
So there's so many things that you brought up. So let me unpack them a little bit, because I want to make this relevant to the folks that are, you know, that are out there, that are investors and that are landlords. The first one was, you use a stat of 3.5 days right now that people are working from home per week. And that's assuming a, is that a 7-day work week, 5-day work week? Is that a percentage? Five days.
1.8 billion people in the workforce worldwide that are working permanently 2 or more days a week outside of their primary office space, according to the IDC.
What was it before the pandemic? Do you know?
It was about a half day.
Half a day. So you're talking about a 700% increase?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's just to put it in perspective, because I didn't want, there's going to be somebody out there that says, well, what if it was 3 before? Well, it's absolutely monstrous. Then that takes us to number 2, which is, in your line of work, the big boys are WeWork and Regis, right?
Well, I like to think Alliance too.
But yeah, you know, I'm just talking about like the highest cap. Like, and I'm thinking of these guys as not being agile. I'm thinking of WeWork as planning to do face plants because they were managing to lose money when real estate, commercial real estate, was at a premium. Because I still remember negotiating my first lease, Frank, and it was brutal. And there's an entry level into getting into commercial space. They won't just lease right. It to anybody. And so there's a whole bunch of people that were forced to work from home or forced to bootstrap it, who now the world is changing for them to where they're going to be able to access good space in a different way. That's where I'm kind of getting with this.
No, that's absolute. I'll give you a good example of that. You mentioned Regis and WeWork, but let's stick with Regis because they actually have, or IWG, International Workplace Group, which owns Regis. That's the parent company, mm-hmm. traded on the London Exchange, and they own a company called Spaces and a number of other companies within the industry on a global basis.
Are they going to get crushed?
Oh, absolutely. Their stock is up. The investment community in November and December, they just raised $1.6 billion for acquisition and growth.
So they said
WeWork, on the other hand, is shrinking and having continue to have a variety of problems. But the market has said there was nothing wrong with the concept of WeWork as a product. The problem was its management and its business theories. It convinced the investment community it was a technology company and could grow at any cost. Mm-hmm. The reality is it's a property company, mm-hmm. and property companies are heavily requiring a massive amount of capital, and they don't scale on the same basis. Alliance is different in that Alliance is a technology company. We don't own any of our own facilities anymore. We look more like Expedia by comparison to the hotel or the airline industry versus IWG or WeWork and others.
That's how I was going to
have in Las Vegas with Tony Hsieh as an example, or had. But use IWG as an example. Their growth has been solid, and they have what they call their Business World card, mm-hmm. which is a simple subscription card you can get. You can get it free if you're an Amex Platinum member. And it allows you the ability to walk into any facility, anytime, anywhere, make a reservation, or just walk in the front door and get a desk. And there are any number of other freelance companies that have now built card systems, Get Croissant, Desk Pass, Colo, et cetera, Alliance Access, where you can just buy a membership card and then get access to hundreds or even thousands of office facilities worldwide. So this is a new transient structure. And so if you were, there's a nice little company called Upflex based in New York, that's a tech company. It actually sells hours of support to large corporate users. So Microsoft can say, hey, my sales department, I have 5,000 people in my sales department. I need them to move around to these 250 cities in 22 countries, and they each need 10 hours a day of office time. Mm-hmm. I can get one contract to supply that. The U.S. federal government right now has put out an RFP for 10,000 workstations in 33 markets in the United States, mm-hmm. and it's a beta test for another 50,000 workstation structure. So that's government, which is the slowest, awfulest, worstest structure you can imagine, but even government is looking at all of these solutions to get away from their fixed costs that are very inefficient. And fixed cost is the issue.
The fixed cost, but and then also when you're going into the flexible space, because I still remember looking at you and I were talking a little before about Tony Hsieh and the downtown project. Tony Hsieh recently passed, and one of the shared workspace groups here failed. But they were more of a collaboration space. It was wide open. But what I keep thinking of is people don't want to use somebody else's computer, right? So Now when I first started looking at it, they were talking about smaller computers. That was the big thing. It's these thin computers.
Chromebook, et cetera. Sure.
Yeah. And now the portable computers are getting strong enough to where you can pretty much just carry your workstation and plug it into some sort of system. Like if you use Surface, it's easy. If you use Macs, you're just going to go wireless. And then most things are cloud-based. So you can just bring your workstation with you. What other things do you need? You have a camera built in. You probably have a decent microphone or you have a headset. Boom. You could work from anywhere, right?
Well, it people do. And the majority of people do these days. I don't know anybody that doesn't have a laptop. I don't know anybody that hasn't had a laptop for maybe 10 years. We took our entire administrative, sales, service departments, call centers, et cetera. We took everything remote in February ahead of the pandemic rush because we saw what was going on in Asia and Europe because of our own offices over there. We did it all in 48 hours, just moving the technology everything, call centers, everything, and never missed a hitch, never had a problem at all. And again, I don't know anybody that doesn't have a laptop or any company that can't.
So are there going to be
their entire system through the cloud these days?
So are there going to be like Zoom rooms where it's like the old telephone booths where you have to prove you just go in there?
No, absolutely. Zoom rooms are a thing. And think about it. We used to call them conference rooms. Now we call them Zoom rooms. You know why? Well, we've got a motion sensing camera that we can put in front of or on top of whatever a big screen is mounted on the wall that we had anyway. And we can use Zoom, we can use Teams, we can use any number of WebEx, GoToMeeting. It doesn't matter. It's all ubiquitous to all of us these days.
And I'm even thinking of like smaller little Zoom rooms. I'm thinking of like you literally get something that is
micro rooms. Yeah, micro rooms that are set up literally as Zoom studios.
You just close the door and you're in your own little world. You got a green, maybe it's green inside.
I'll tell you where those are happening. They're happening in a lot of service office and business centers, and they're set up as podcast rooms. So they're soundproof. They've got good cameras. They can do split screening. They've got a system, and you can Zoom and do any kind of personal meeting for two or three people in there. But they're really, an awful lot of them are set up as podcast rooms because podcasting has become the new medium for business social media, if you will. Mm-hmm. And it is huge, and it you want to do it right, though.
So if you're a commercial landowner, let's say that I have clients that own buildings and things like that, And they're the ones that are getting smushed during the pandemic. And they're probably freaking out a little bit going, oh, my God, if you own retail space, if you own commercial space, you're the one who's getting beaten right now because your tenants are hurting and a lot of them are moving out. A lot of them don't need the space. If you're running to a failed business, there's a good chance you're not going to get your rents. What could they do to capitalize on these changes? Like, what would you tell them to do?
I think we're seeing an awful lot of property companies that are looking at the flexible workplace sector, and they're saying, well, let's see, if IWG or Regis can lease space from a landlord, carve it up a little bit, provide some services, make enough profit to be a multi-billion dollar corporation, I can do that. Not that complicated. So it is more complicated than you think, of course. A lot of property companies are creating joint venture partnerships with local business center, co-working center operations. A lot of them are entering that industry themselves if they have a portfolio of buildings that are well positioned. Another sector is a lot of commercial space, as you know, is office park type style or R&D park style. And so makerspace, the shared space, there's a great model called FlexiZone based in the Netherlands, another one here called Cube in the U.S. that are taking that type of space and repositioning it as flexible space, another one called BizSpace that's owned by IWG in the U.K. It looks like an office park, but it's all shared workspace with common services and things of that nature. So the key for workspace of the future is to stop thinking of it as space and start thinking of it as a service. Space is two-dimensional. Service is three-dimensional. When someone moves into a two-dimensional space, they put desks down, they put Wi-Fi in, they wire it for technology, they put clerical secretarial people on the floors to manage the businesses. When those things are shared, they create much better value and much lower cost for the end users. And that is the wave of the future for all officing. I said officing, not office, because officing is a verb and the office place is a noun and the noun is going away.
So you think that this is going to be forever in that world as we know it is shifting and that all these commercial buildings with all these people jammed in, that these are going to become, they're going to have to change or they're going to be slaughtered?
Well, just think of two things. First, the term landlord. What is anachronism?
Yeah, it comes back.
Okay, kind of back off from that. I mean, I'm thinking castles, moats, et cetera.
Where it comes from.
Anachronism. And the other thing, when you talk about change, there's an old saying, I forget where it came from or who said it, whatever, but it's kind of true. Everybody talks about the new normal, the new this, the new that. And the saying is this, a man who stands in the river never touches the same water twice. Mm-hmm. The new is constant. And unless you are constantly thinking about adjustments, little micro adjustments, then you can't keep up. You know, I'm an old racing sailor. You've known me for a while, and you know that's what I used to do. And when you're sailing a boat, every time you turn the rudder, it's a break. It pushes against the water and makes it go the other direction. So the harder you turn the rudder, the slower you go. You want to go fast, you make little micro adjustments. Mm-hmm. Constantly. You're constantly micro-adjusting. You're using the sails to trim the boat, not just the rudder. And you're constantly accelerating your speed. And in business today, big radical changes aren't what you want to be thinking about. You want to think, well, how can I make a micro-adjustment? How can I do it every day? Mm-hmm. Every new lease I sign, every new tenant I deal with, how can I constantly make improvement? And the old business, you know, it's the way we did it yesterday. It's the way we've always done it. Those death words that create a death knell for most companies really have to be looked at from the property perspective right now, or others are going to end up owning your building and doing what you should have been doing yesterday. And that's creating a flexible environment.
So you're the landlord. You see this happening. Maybe it's time to go to those tenants that are hurting and see if they're agile enough to make changes. And maybe you're able to make use of their space to make some changes of your own.
And providing some services. Mm-hmm. A lot of property, there's a great company called Novell Coworking, or Novell Workspace, I think it's called. It goes ahead and buys buildings, 50 to 150,000 foot buildings that had a high vacancy factor, 50% or more usually, and it reconverts, repurposes those buildings, the entire building, into a flexible workspace structure. And they're very full. They're very successful. They run in a REIT-type model as a property company. They've got 50, 60 buildings now in their portfolio. And they can raise all the capital they want, no problem whatsoever, because their return on investment is much higher than a conventional building, certainly higher than a building with a vacancy factor.
Do they use Alliance or do they do their own?
No, they do their own. They do their own.
I bet you people don't understand what Alliance is still. I mean,
sometimes I don't understand.
I'll put it in terms for my folks. Alliance doesn't own the real estate. It doesn't do the long lease. Egregious is the one that does the long lease. WeWork does these long leases and then they sublet. Alliance is software that goes over the top for somebody that owns the building to provide you customers and takes a small percentage off the top. So they don't have liabilities. So one of the things I've always liked about Frank and his company is like, they don't have big fat liabilities on their balance sheet, so they never have to go bankrupt, which is not true of the other. Like, I don't think WeWorks had to go bankrupt, but I know that Regis has had some in their past. When the market shifts, they're just too big with all those, like you want to talk about a rudder, you know, have 10 floors of a building. That's a big rudder, right? When all of a sudden that space isn't needed. This is a little different because we have a pandemic. This isn't just the market.
Yeah, it is. The pandemic, there are going to be three layers of change as a result of the pandemic. And going back to your original question of people working from home, government dictated during the initial phase of the pandemic and still has that you must work remotely and you cannot congregate in certain places. It's the law now. Like it or not, it's the law. And it's going to become even stronger in the very, very near future, at least for a while. As soon as the law or the government dictation of that activity goes away, 90, 180 days from now, the pandemic's going to be solved, okay? We have two things happening. We have a new administration that is going to claim it's solved no matter what, as any new administration would, by the way. We fixed this for you. And secondly, we have a vaccine, okay? Whether the vaccine really does everything we hope it to, people are so tired of this thing. It's just going to 180 days. There'll be an announcement. It's over. Everybody's back to doing whatever they think. As soon as that happens, now the onus for work at home, essential workers, et cetera, falls on the companies individually. Microsoft has to have its policy. General Motors has to have its policy. Everybody's got to have their individual policy that they're corporately responsible for, because they can't say, well, the government made me do it. Government told me you have to work at home. So the workers are going to come back and say, well, you know, I've been working at home for 6 months. How much are you going to start paying me for the rent of my kitchen? That's already happening. That happened in the old telecommuting days and when the Clean Air Act was published in the late 80s and early 90s. And the corporations lost. Okay. Let's see. You let me go and you haven't paid me rent for 3 years. I need that rent now. Unsafe workplace. OSHA starts cramping down. If that laptop computer, well, it includes a printer and a scanner and maybe an imaging equipment.
Get right on.
And that's unsafe workplace because there's a three-year-old child that's unsupervised.
The weird thing
is, all these things will come up and cause even more change.
I just wrote an article with American Express on some of these issues because it was a huge issue because they won't make you enforce OSHA for telecommuting clients right now or telecommuting employees. But the big issue is it used to be if you had an unreimbursed expense. So if the employer says you're allowed to work at home, that's one thing. Then your rights are out the door. But if the employer says you must work at home, then the question was, well, did I have to buy anything? You could put that back on the employer.
Yeah.
But let's say they allow you to work at home. It used to be you could write it off on your Schedule A as a unreimbursed business. And they removed that. Unreimbursed business.
You can't do that anymore.
You can't do that anymore. So like you couldn't have been worse for the Tax Cut and Jobs Act. Like they didn't know a pandemic was coming, but they did make a situation where it couldn't be worse for the employee. If your employer isn't paying for those things, you're getting hosed. I would say that you turn back and say, if it's a condition of my working, then I would want it. We provide it. Like we don't want them going out and buying their own stuff, partially because we want to make sure that the equipment is, you know, good. sometimes if you're shopping with your own dollars, you start getting cheaper stuff. It's like, no, we want good cameras. We want.
Oh yeah, no. The company will have to provide the complete remote workspace technology
or access to one, right?
Is that where you're going with access to it? And again, the model is that is happening is the company will say, no, you're right. You shouldn't work out of your kitchen. That's not good. You can work one day a week if you like to, but 2 days a week, we want you in a business or a co-working center that's near your home that you don't have a problem commuting to. And then every other week, we want you in the corporate headquarters for a company meeting or whatever.
And we don't.
That's the new hybrid model that we're seeing.
And we don't have it yet, right? Maybe in some metro areas, but we don't have it yet, which is what, would you think that's what's coming?
I think that's what's coming. And it's migrating that direction already. We're seeing that from the large corporates. And as soon as government stops determining the rules, says, okay, we're back to normal, whatever normal is. Well, it is, I hate the word new normal because every day changes and every day is new. But the work near home in a highly flexible office center of some sort, business center, co-working center, et cetera.
Well, they already have the retail stores that have all been failing. You can just take some of those retail stores and say, hey, we're going to make it into a Zoom.
Well, redeveloping malls to include large childcare and common work areas has already been happening for the last 3-4 years. And that will just accelerate overall. The big regional malls will survive. Those will be the high-end big regional malls, the destination malls. Those will still survive just fine. The local community-based malls or shopping centers.
They're going to get
is where you're going to see most of the adjustments made. But those are community. And so that's the perfect location within the community as a center for activity. And that's what we're going to see. You'll also see churches, schools be completely repurposed the way they use their real estate in many respects.
I agree. I could see that happening.
So that's just... All of that is happening right now. And this isn't future stuff. This is going on right now.
And you could choose to participate in it. So like with Alliance, have you guys seen market increase in people using your services over this pandemic?
During 2020, we had a 45% revenue and customer base growth.
And is that normal? Like, do you normally grow that much?
I'd like to say it was. We've had over the last 5 or 6 years an average of a 20 to 25% growth per year, year over year.
So it doubled.
This year doubled our average growth. And as an industry, the flexible workspace industry, since 2000 and I'll call it 8, has grown at 10 to 12, sometimes 15% per year, compounding year over year, right through the pandemic.
Do you
That's a faster take up than the PC industry in 2000.
Do you have a Zoom room solution? Is that something that you guys have that you've broken off, or is that something that you're looking at doing? Small places where an employee could go in and rent it for a day at a lower cost or something like that so that they could use it?
We have on a global basis, a meeting and conference room structure, which includes private offices, day offices, 2-4 person conference rooms on up through training rooms and centers. And that's all done. The Zoom capabilities and all of those are dependent upon the AV setup in every facility. So that, and I don't know of a single facility that doesn't have that anymore.
So the big question then is, if somebody has real estate and they're wanting to diversify into this area, how do they add the ability to have you bring them customers? Like, how do they contract with Alliance? Is that something a landlord can do?
Alliance works with high quality operators where there's a service track record overall. But if somebody wants to adjust to this marketplace, I would say they should look at some of the very good franchising operations within the flexible workspace industry. There's a Denver-based company called Office Evolution, which is excellent, very low cost of entry and very high level of support. There's another Florida-based group called Venture X, which is also excellent. Those are probably the two best ones in the United States. I would look at those today.
Perfect.
They're both focused on smaller secondary markets, spaces, Office Evolution in particular. where it's really doesn't do anything in the downtown central business district. It does everything in the secondary and tertiary markets. Average space size for a facility of theirs is between 8,000 and 15,000 feet. Gotcha. So smallish versus a WeWork, which will be 75,000 to 100,000.
Huge.
So well, anybody that needs connection, or Toby, if you want, I'd be happy to provide connections to those two companies.
And then what if somebody wants a virtual office? They say, hey, you know what? Like, we have a lot of real estate folks. We have a lot of realtors. Then they say, hey, you know what? I have four or five people and I don't want to have a full on office space anymore. How do I use virtual space?
Oh, well, that's very easy. First, a virtual office, you have to determine the difference between a virtual office and a virtual address. A virtual address could be digital or it could be something like at a UPS store. But you can't call that a virtual office because it's pretty hard to meet somebody at a UPS store. I mean, it just isn't cool. You know, it just doesn't work. So a virtual office is what we provide in 4- and 5-star facilities all over the world. And it gives you the use of the commercial address for all mail and package handling, as well as access to meeting rooms, day offices, conference rooms, private offices on an as-needed basis. And as needed is the key. You might say, hey, I need something 2 hours a day, 1 day a week, because you have to meet somebody, a certain thing you have to do then.
You meet with your team.
You never need to use more than you require. And it's all done on a month-to-month, 6 months or 12-month basis. So you're never hooked into a long-term lease, which goes to your balance sheet. It's always just a monthly expense. So that works quite well. And we have tens of thousands and thousands of clients all over the world that participate in the program.
If you don't mind me asking.
Virtual office, depending upon the marketplace. Remember, all markets are dictated by the cost of the dirt under the building. Mm-hmm. So London is pretty expensive. Singapore is pretty expensive. Hong Kong is pretty expensive. Kansas City isn't. So we see prices for a virtual office, which is address only without predetermining conference and meeting room time, at prices as low as $49 to $70 or $89 a month. Mm-hmm. And we see prices inclusive of meeting room time in the $200 to $250, $300 range per month.
Let that sink, guys. I remember starting, and we didn't have that choice back when we started our office. And I just remember buying the servers for the, you know, through the cloud. But you remember that you spent a couple $100,000 on servers, and then the workstations were all $1,000 a pop, and your monitors were. I remember when the monitors, it was exciting when they went below 200, and yeah, just ridiculous. Now everything's a lot cheaper, but I remember.
Well, and the issue was too, you probably had 2 or 3 conference rooms in that facility, mm-hmm, that were used about 30% of the time.
Yep.
But you were paying for them 24/7.
Yep.
And that's really the big difference. It's almost, our industry has been referred to as a communist conspiracy, because you only need to use what you require at the time, you know, each unto their own and all that sort of thing. We share the workspace to make it more efficient. And it has done exceedingly well through the years and the decades, as is evidenced by the fact that government is now migrating to this model. And every global Fortune 1000 is in the customer base of ourselves and IWG, every single one of them.
What I've seen is the workspaces are becoming more transitory. You need to be able to go do business in different cities. You need to be able to go. And you can either be part of that, or you can choose to stick to the dinosaur. And you know, like it to me, it's kind of like I'm the typewriter sales guy, right? Eventually, I got to realize that typewriters, there may be some market for them, but it's going to be really small. And you may as well get into the PC world. At some point, you're going to have to.
Well, it would have been even worse if you were the typewriter ribbon sales guy.
Those things probably cost a mint now. If you have a typewriter, I bet it's hard to find. Maybe you can just Google it and buy it on Amazon, right? No, but it does seem like the world's changed up. And I just remember 10 years ago when we were doing the downtown projects, working with those folks, it was so novel. And they built the Innovation Center here, which is out by Switch, one of the big hubs here in Nevada, one of the data hubs, one of the fastest internet on the planet, close to. And they have this center that was made towards incubator, where all these small businesses would get together and work together. And you're seeing it completely turn on its ear a little bit. And it's really not the collaboration. It's the expediency of being able to go in there and the convenience of being able to go in there and use space, like you said, as needed, as opposed to buying the space and having it available 24/7, when in all reality, you only need it 3 hours a week.
And that's it. You should buy only what you need. And define our industry a little bit, Toby. As I said earlier, our industry combines people, place, and technology into a single bundled product, which is delivered with a highly flexible service agreement. Within our industry, you've referenced a couple of things. There are different brands or models. There's the classic serviced office or business center model, which would be illustrated by Regis. There is the and that model takes people, place, and technology and combines it with professional image and services. Then there's the co-working model, which takes people, place, and technology and provides business growth through a collaborative community. Mm-hmm. Then there's the incubator model. That's the same thing, but provides mentoring. Mm-hmm. And then there's the accelerator model that does what an incubator does, but provides access to capital. So those are your primary structures, and you can apply it to industrial models that have storage space combined with the people, place, and technology. You can combine it with technology models that really have server farms combined with the people, place, and technology. All these different elements that apply to the specialized needs of different types of companies. There's media centers, there's culinary centers, all of these niche markets have evolved, and everybody's using just what they require. They're keeping it off their balance sheet. And you just imagine if you're Cisco and you can take 10 million feet of 10-year lease space off your balance sheet.
Yeah.
What does that do to your capacity to improve your stock value and raise capital for future growth? And that's what every major Fortune 1000 company is going through right now. They don't just say, we don't need this. They say, we get rid of all this debt on our balance sheet.
Which goes straight to equity.
So we can grow faster.
Yep, absolutely. It's all value at the bottom line.
That's the huge driver.
Frank, I really appreciate you coming on and sharing your knowledge. If somebody wants to learn more about Alliance, how do they do it?
Oh, they can go to either alliancevirtualoffices.com, or they can, if they just want to learn about our industry, they can go to allwork.space. We reach about 5.5 million people a month on Allwork. So that is the industry's largest news and information website by far. Mm-hmm. And if people want to know more about the industry, fine. If someone wants to reach me personally, they can do so through your office. And if I can put them in touch with whatever they require.
Perfect. Appreciate your time.
My pleasure.
Thank you for listening to today's podcast. Show notes for links to everything mentioned in this episode can be found on our website at andersonadvisors.com/podcast. Be sure you subscribe to our podcast, and if you are already a subscriber, please provide us a review of what you thought of this episode.